24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page 1? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
I'm ready. Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at Lady Z. If you're listening to this episode on the Bashani Radio app, please understand that you can switch screens without losing any audio. The app will play in the background, so please go to Instagram and follow me at LADYZHE. My next guest, I'm really excited to interview this man. He is a serial entrepreneur, a mentor, and he is quite a visionary and an app developer. And he is the founder of Kitty Credit, which is a mobile app available in your app stores. And his name is Evan Lephart. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm so happy that you had the opportunity to come and chat with me about what you're doing. So what made you get into, what sparked the vision for Kitty Credit?
It was about 10 years ago. I had this free-flowing thought process and it was in my head just figuring out, ways to make society better, right? I'm a big proponent of entrepreneurship. I've always felt that entrepreneurship is the key to, it's the great equalizer, in my opinion. You know, when you look at communities that are most severely affected economically, and you look at the businesses in the community, it's not owned by the people that actually live in the community.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of think, why is that, right? Because the people that are there most adversely affected, they don't have the ability to gain access to funds, you know, line of credit or business loan to kind of start these larger projects to take a little more capital. And it's a capital need, but it's also a knowledge need. And when I got to, it was like, you know, in order to get access to these lines of credit and access to these business loans, the most important thing is you have to have a good credit score.
Right.
And just me thinking personally, I was like, I had a terrible credit score, you know, throughout my entire 20s because I was never taught it. And it's on a wide scale, at least, it's something that was never taught to us as kids. I was like, how do we even begin that conversation? You can't just, when a kid is 7, 8 years old, say, hey, this is a FICO score, this is utilization and payment history. Like, how can we effectively do it? So that was when it popped in my head, you know, through chores. So I married the two concepts and came up with the concept for kiddie credit, but it stayed in my head for many years. So, you know, in between jobs and other businesses that I had, you know, cleaning business, auto transport business, this is the project that I always wanted to do. And it wasn't until I came across some team members that are with me now on the project that we really started to begin building out the wireframe and building out the app, which we were able to launch last year, and to just see it in the app store and have families using it, like it's still an amazing thing to me. But it wasn't just, hey, I want to teach kids credit. It was about how do we level the playing field so when people turn 18, they innately understand how credit works. That's my everyday mission with this project.
Well, that is awesome. That's awesome. You know, I think, you know, there is definitely a huge need for credit education, and I actually am quite an active entrepreneur as well, and I am involved with financial education services. So talking about credit, helping people improve their credit is something that I do, but I don't deal with kids, only adults. So I wanted to know, like, a little bit about I want to take a higher view and look at tech. Like, what spurred you to create the Black Men Talk Tech Conference and, you know, just the other technological endeavors that you've had over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was always a fan of what Black Women Talk Tech had been able to create. I just had their fourth conference in New York. It went really amazing. Probably one of the last conferences in the country to actually be able to run before we came into the times that we're in right now. But it was myself and other founders, Black men that were founders of tech projects themselves. We just kind of all formed heads and said, you know, look, we want to create the same type of tribe for Black men. And you know, in particular founders, right? Like it's a lonely road as is being an entrepreneur. It's a lonelier road being an entrepreneur in tech. And it goes a step further when you're an African-American male. You know, there's a lot of things you don't know. It's very different from, you know, when I was just trying to, you know, build your standard business. So the learning curve for me was rather steep. Fortunately, I have some people in my corner that really accelerated that process for me, but I just wanted to create, be part of a team that cultivated a group of individuals in the same space, a safe space for them to vent about things they're experiencing, things they may need help on, or things that they feel that they've actually become a thought leader at and want to give back. So we had our first year of it last year in Miami. We're going to have it this year, you know, God willing, in Miami as well, in late fall, in October. I mean, it's been an exciting process to be a part of. So, you know, our first year went off amazing. We had some awesome people come out. We had a fireside chat, which I thought was really unique, between a VC and one of their and the founder of one of their portfolio companies.
Oh, okay. So pause right there. Not everybody listening on to my podcast is familiar with those terms. Can you explain what VC stands for?
Absolutely. VC is venture capital.
Right.
So in this particular case, the VC firm was Rain Ventures, and its managing partner is Monique Eidlett-Mosley.
Okay.
And She had a fireside chat with one of her portfolio companies, individual by the name of Travis Holloway, and he's the founder of Solo Funds.
Solo Funds. Okay, okay.
So that went pretty well. We had for lunch, it was catered by 800 Degrees, so we actually were able to get a words of encouragement video from Dwayne Wade, and his partner in the business, Udonis Haslam, came out and gave some words of wisdom to all the founders in the audience, and also served lunch from their restaurant, 800 Degrees.
Oh, wow. Is 800 Degrees Dwayne Wade's restaurant?
Yes. So the branch in Miami is co-owned by Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslam, also player for the Miami Heat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, I live solidly in Laker land, California. So, you know, I'm not always up on the comings and goings of, you know, Heat players.
But I would give for the NBA to be back on right now.
Oh my gosh, tell me about it. I mean, the NBA, like, I mean, March with no March basketball madness. We've had plenty of madness in March, but not the right kind of madness.
Yeah. Something else right now.
Right, right.
So that happened. We had a couple other keynotes, couple panel discussions. We had a pitch competition at the end where we had 8 amazing businesses that all competed. The pitch competition was sponsored by the Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation. So we were very appreciative to all of our sponsors. Our lead sponsor was
Wow, you have some amazing sponsors involved in what you're doing. That's amazing.
We were very, very fortunate to pull off what we did the first year, and now we're looking to make it bigger and even better for the second year. So it's very blessed. Very blessed in both of these projects.
That is awesome. So I wanted to find out from you, like, you know, what has been your experience? You know, you've launched Kitty Credit, and, you know, how does it work? How has the effect of the use of this app in households, how has it impacted the quality of life for the families who are using it?
We've seen tremendous results. So for us, this whole year was about just engaging with families, right? We had no plan really to push it out to the masses, just kind of get it in some parents' hands. What do you like about it? I always tell people, as soon as they download the app for the first time, I'm like, use it and tell me why it sucks. You don't have to tell me why it's great. I know we have a great concept, but I want to know how we can make it better. So that's really been what this year has been all about. But we have about 4,000 families now that have not just downloaded, but downloaded and signed up for the app. So we've found that it's been great for them to have like a centralized place to keep track of the kids' chores, and then essentially say, look, if you're doing your chores well, this will reflect your credit score, which will in turn get you access to more, our internal currency is called Bamboo Bucks. So the better your credit score is, the more Bamboo Bucks you get on a weekly basis, and then the parent can set the rewards for that. So essentially 10 Bamboo Bucks could be $10. It could be 30 minutes outside with friends. It's totally up to the parent. So
I have a question. At what's the age that this app has an impact?
So it's intended for kids ages 4 to 12. If you wanted me to hyper-focus that demographic, I would say between 8 to 12, which is what we also built a curriculum around as well.
You have a curriculum. So I have a 5-year-old. So yep. Would it really impact him at 5?
I would say from a chore perspective, absolutely. Because the thing about chores is chores can be anything, right? You could be the chore that you're inputting could be habitual. Hug your mother. You know, say thank you 10 times a day. You know, say what you're grateful for. You know, say a prayer. So just positive. Positive habits that kind of reinforce, you know, good characteristics of an individual.
I just want him to pick up his toys and put them up.
There you go. So
that's a struggle right now.
It could be as simple as that. Say, hey, look, pick up your Legos, right? Put them away.
Right. Him and the Legos. Oh my gosh, Evan. Woo! How did you know? How did you know the Legos?
I know this demographic very well.
I got up this morning and I was just fussing. I was like, pick up these Legos. Pick them up.
So, yeah, I would it can start early, honestly. And, you know, the rewards, again, we don't we try not to step too far into the household. That's kind of our company thesis here. You know, so it's.
It's a loose outline.
Yes.
So it's more like a loose framework where parents can put their own flavor in it.
100%.
That is so awesome.
Thank you.
So how can, is this app available in both the iPhone store and Google Play?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I actually had a system that I kind of let fall by the wayside with my son, where I had this poster board, and he would get stickers every time he did a chore. And every time he had 5 stickers in one category, he could pick something out of the toy box. So I'm glad I could save a tree and download the app.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me know your thoughts. I mean, we're very feedback oriented here too. So I tell every parent that has it now, you know, anything that you would love to see in terms of its next iteration, let us know, because, you know, when Uber first started, there was, you know, 10 to 100 drivers probably on the app, right? And whoever said, you know, look, I wish it did this. The way Uber is now, like, a lot of those initial conversations really shaped the form that it's in now. So we have very big plans for what we're trying to do with the app and its scope. Right. But right now, our main goal is to not get ahead of ourselves and just focus on what the parent wants. So,
right.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is awesome. I'm looking at it in the App Store right now. And yeah, I think I need to figure out which app I can delete off my phone so I can actually download this. I have so many apps, but this is awesome. So the ethos behind Kitty Credit, it's like, you know, teaching, motivating kids to, you know, do their chores. But what other things did you have in mind as far as the affects of this app within, you know, the parental child dynamic?
Well, so the main thing is actually the credit education, right? So what we're doing right now is it's educating you on how credit scores are calculated. We'll kind of go further into teaching how credit works, but the way it works now and how that credit score comes about, mm-hmm. it parallels traditional FICO calculations, right? So like a missed chore is like a missed payment.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you've had a chore, it's like the longer you've had a credit card, you know, your age of account.
Right.
And then the bamboo bucks I was telling you about, you know, the way you manage those is essentially like your utilization and how you're managing your credit. You know, the more chores you have, the better it is for your score. And anytime you ask your parents for something, so when your son goes, hey, mom, can I get this? Hey, mom, can I get this? After too many times, the which are called reward requests, it's like too many inquiries, and that can penalize your score. What we want to have happen is basically when a kid turns 18, it triggers the moment when they first had to do their chores and like, man, this bill, if I don't do it, it's like, a, you know, it's like a missed chore. You know, right. And the longer I've had this card, so we're trying to teach the fundamentals of how it's calculated, because what I see happen a lot is I have many friends that do well for themselves, but they might make a small mistake that's devastating to their credit score. They might have 2 cards, one for 1 year and one for 20 years. And that card that they were like, man, I'm not using this card. I've had it for 20 years. Let me just cancel it. Now, all of a sudden, the average age of their accounts has plummeted and now their score drops. They don't really know why. So,
right.
Those things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that credit education piece is so important. Like, you know, I can honestly say that it was one thing that I really didn't pay attention to a lot. And, you know, as you said, in your 20s, my credit was pretty good, but I didn't understand why. And now it's like, okay, now I understand what it works and I'm much more mindful about it. But this is great to have a tool for parents to work through teaching their kids credit. And now, since, you know, everybody's stuck at home, this is a great activity to implement right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, to switch up you know, just the monotony of the day-to-day. So I think this is an awesome app. So how can you spell the app for the listeners so they know how to look for it in the app store so they can download it?
Yeah, sure thing. So it's Kidde, that's K-I-D-D-I-E, and then credit with a K, K-R-E-D-I-T.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's go back to the issues that you talked about, because this really hit home with me when you talk about being Black, being in the tech field, and, you know, just dealing with the challenges of being a Black male tech entrepreneur. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. In regards to just the individual road, or like in
yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, some of my listeners are familiar with it and some of them aren't. And I think it's really important for us to talk about this because, you know, one thing that has happened to me and one of the reasons why I'm an entrepreneur is because I've been told by recruiters, you know, this is how much the position is looking to hire for, but if you accept $30,000 annually less, I can submit you for this job. And so there's this Black tax that is there, and it translates even from, you know, from employment to entrepreneurship. And I just wanted to hear your take on it because, I mean, I can rattle off the statistics all day, but, you know, for my listeners, I would love to hear your perspective on why it's so critical for events like your tech conference to exist for Black men.
Yeah, absolutely. Really taking it a step further too is entrepreneurship. I will always be a fan of, especially for my community. You know, and a lot of it has to deal with the numbers, right? You look at the hiring numbers, you look at incarceration numbers, you look at all of these things that entrepreneurship is immune to. Right. Like if you build your own successful business, like nobody's hiring an entrepreneur. You are your own business.
Right.
You know, if you have mistakes in your past, you know, which I do, you know, like if you have your own business, you're your own background check, you know.
Right. So exactly. Exactly.
So the limitations on your potential for success are minimized greatly, and your returns are infinite. There's no limit. There's no limit on them. So just the overall path of an entrepreneur, I'm supportive of. And I always have been. I mean, I was the kid with the lemonade stand, but the tech experience was new for me too, because that is something that while it's been around, it's felt like the access to resources in the state were fairly siloed. And when I say tech, I'm talking about, you know, advancements of you know, companies that are Silicon Valley oriented, and you know, just the overall ecosystem. The numbers, again, it goes to the same thing where we're not represented in direct correlation to our percentages in America. It's a very vast difference. I don't want to just rattle off some wrong figures, but it's pretty alarming. So
I mean, anytime, you know, I had an experience where, you know, when I was in the process of reworking my company, because I have my own marketing tech company, and I was reworking the brand. I had shut down Square Biz and was preparing to launch the SEO Queen. So I worked for an agency briefly, and this white male with a high school diploma who taught himself how to do SEO on blogs became my boss. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, some of the coworkers that I work with have been very condescending towards me, but yet I'm building websites for $44 million projects and, right, you know, building apps and doing all this incredible work. But, you know, I found in, you know, corporate America, I definitely was not respected. I was not respected nor appreciated. And, you know, I think, you know, it's so powerful that you recognize that and that you're you know, encouraging young people at a young age to really understand this financial system in which we have to live and survive, because, you know, racism is really the bane of our existence as Black people. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I have 3 degrees, 2 from MIT, and I mean, the experience, sadly, is similar across the board. I mean, there are some aberrations. There are some people, some Black people, who have been able to thrive in the corporate American environment. But for the most part, we're shut out.
Yeah.
We're shut out. And it's really, really sad. So how can, for all my entrepreneur, Black male entrepreneurs, tech entrepreneurs that are listening, how can they get plugged in to your tech conference?
Easy. So first off, you know, you can go, we have our website redesign be done in a couple of weeks, but I mean, you can already go on there now and connect with us, Black Men Talk Tech. Mm-hmm. We're available on Instagram, at Black Men Talk Tech. On Twitter, we're at BM Talk Tech.
Okay.
And then our engagement on LinkedIn and Facebook will be, you know, a little, be going up a little more shortly as we start preparing for the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can always reach out to me individually, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. It's all the same. It's just Evan Liepart. My last name is spelled L-E-A-P-H-A-R-T. And then my personal website's evanliepart.com, but That was a lot of plugging right there, but yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to plug. That's what this technology. It's about highlighting those leaders in the business and technology field, you know, that usually aren't given a mainstream media platform. So that's the vision. I want you to give your shout out. Evan, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and you know, I feel like 2020 is a year for just a shift in thinking, a shift in opportunity. I think it's just a time for the world, the community, for people to really shine in their gifts. I firmly believe that there's enough shine for everybody. So what are 3 things that you have learned in your entrepreneurial journey that you want to share with those who are thinking about it, on the journey? You know, just 3 encouraging words, 3 encouraging points that you could share with our listeners as we come to the close of this episode.
One, I would say entrepreneurship is going to put you in the position of being a leader. You know, whether you like it or not, people are going to look to you in a small or large capacity. So just always be mindful of what you're doing and how you're representing, because you're setting an example for others. That would be first. I would say, secondly, always try to think win-win. That comes from one of my favorite books to read, which is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
But, oh my God. I love Stephen Covey. That's like one of my favorite
amazing
books too. I love first to understand that habit is like,
yep, there you go.
That's
amazing. We're on the same page there.
Oh my God.
With the begin with the end in mind, you know, all of these, they're very, very sound principles. So
absolutely.
Think win-win. So when you go into conversations and you're trying to build a business and, you know, and you want to win, clearly we all do, but you'll succeed greatly if you also start to see things from the other lens think how they could win as well. And then also too, people don't see you as a take person. They see you as a very reasonable person. More reasonable you are, in my personal experience, I think, the further you go.
You know, one of the things in, the book, it was Dale Carnegie. I think it's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Influence People, yep.
Or is it Think and Grow Rich?
Think and Grow Rich was Napoleon Hill.
Okay, Napoleon Hill. I think it may be Think and Grow Rich, or one of those books. I forget which one, but one of the points in that book was, if you help people get what they're trying to accomplish, complete it, you'll get whatever you want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, just another way of saying win-win. That's really, really powerful. Well, Evan, please share with our listeners one more time on how they can contact you.
Absolutely. Feel free to reach out to me personally on Instagram at Evan Liepart. Same thing for Twitter. You can also email me at iam@evanliepart.com. If you want to connect with either of my projects, there's Kiddie Credit on Instagram at KIDDIEKREDIT, and then Black Men Talk Tech is at Black Men Talk Tech.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. I really look forward to seeing your continued success. And until next time.
Thank you. Much love.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.